No, I'm just telling you, listen, I realize that everybody, whether if you're a mom or a dad in here tonight, you feel the same way about your children. You can't make decisions for them. You can steer them and direct them, but too many times we call upon the Lord, but do we really realize when we look at this and claim, do we claim Scripture and say, God, you said you would do it? Sometimes I believe that what we miss is we call out, but we don't really believe God will act. What we greatly lack is faith. Like somebody's never had a kid in their home that it was stubborn like your kid. You know what I mean? Like nobody's ever been here before. No, it's been that way. And I realize that we live in an evil day. I realize that there's things that we battle in this day, the things that they had to go down to the corner store and buy to take home and hide from you, and now they can get right on a cell phone. Now the things that they had to search for, somebody will send to them. Now sometimes that they try to separate themselves from, they don't even have to make an evil search. Something will be sent to them because of just some association or link. Right. And if they're naive, they'll open it and wham, they've been opened up to something that is hard for them to deal with. Right. Yeah. We live in a day and age where we cannot afford to be powerless Christians, and we cannot afford not to call upon the name of the Lord and to see God do a work that we can't do. I think according to the Scripture, I've heard Brother Howes preach this. I've heard Dr. Lee Robertson preach this. I've heard men of God throughout the ages say, just we ought to find a Bible verse. And I don't want to say this in a wrong way, but I just want you to understand from my perspective tonight and hold God to what he said. Sometimes we go into the Scripture and we'll say, I'm going to call upon him, I'm going to ask God to do it. But we leave our knees not thinking really God's going to do anything. When we ought to claim a verse and say, God, you said in your word, I trusted in your word for salvation. I've trusted in your word for my walk. I've trusted in your word for my family. I've trusted in your word for every step of my life up to this point. And now, God, I'm trusting on you to change the circumstances of the world to help my family. I'm trusting in you to change the heart of my son or my daughter. I'm trusting in you to do the unthinkable. You know, tonight as I walked up here, I'll have to get this out early. Now, Brother Louie gave a weird look, Brother Perkins said earlier. My wife came and found me in the aisle. And you know how it is. If you get 10 people lined up and people whisper things, everybody hears something different, right? So we prayed for Brother Louie's brother, Tom, and his death was greatly exaggerated. All right, my wife came and told me in the middle of the aisle, she was just trying to update me on the prayer list, and I thought, man, for her to walk over here, it must have been something bad, preacher. You know how that goes, right? She said he went home. So I thought he went home with the Lord. Well, he went home from the hospital. Amen? Hey, I just wanted to tell you tonight, prayer changes things. Amen? I had him dead and buried. Amen? But he went in the hospital and he went home. And you say, preacher, you know, that's funny. It is a little bit. But, you know, sometimes God calls home his saints. Sometimes that's what God chooses is better. And sometimes for us, we need to call on the Lord and let the Lord be the one that deals out the results. Do you know sometimes they get a hold of the rebel's heart? If you beg God and you believe God will do it, sometimes the God has to break the rebel to bring him home. And we got to be all right with God's results. We can't always have it. It ain't Burger King, friend. You can't always have it your way. All right? Here in the Scripture, in Jeremiah 33:3, the Lord says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We've been talking about calling unto me. I want you to pray with me tonight and ask the Lord to speak to your heart. I want you to pray and ask God to do a work to help you about this attitude of prayer and believing that God will work in your home, in your family, in your ministry, whatever it is that God's speaking to your heart about tonight. Dear Lord, we come to you tonight as the best way I know how, God, and I know that this is something from the Scripture, Lord, that's a simple truth. But God, I ask you to help us get this simple truth and to claim a scripture in the Bible, and maybe not this one, maybe some other, God, that you will act in the affairs of men, that you'll help us in our family and in our ministry, God, that you would do great and mighty things, things that we might be able to just, you would be glorified and seen because of the work that you do, and because we call it upon your name. We ask it all in the name above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus. We ask it. Amen. Jeremiah 33:3 is not a new verse, and many people have heard it over and over again. You've read it, but have you claimed it lately? Have you reminded yourself that God says, call unto me? You ever think about here that, you know, what you call upon? Who you call unto? Do you often just call? And again, we said recently, I made this statement, someone said, and I said it Wednesday night, I believe, that, you know, what if the only thing you woke up in the morning with is what you thank God for at night? We have a problem with thankfulness. We're just that way. And it's not just us. I'm sure the rest of the world could share that. But especially as Americans, all the great things that we can praise about being an American and all the things that God has blessed us with, we are an unthankful people. And we could say, well, you know, those are just things. Well, what about your children and what God has done? Too many times we don't see the advancements God has already made in our family. We don't check the wins and the loss column. We don't realize that they're saved and they're on their way to heaven. Yes, they may not be doing exactly what you want them to do, but God's not done yet. They're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. All too often, we're not long-suffering or patient like God is. And too many times, God is doing a work in their lives. We just need to keep calling. Sometimes we get frustrated because we get a little embarrassed when they don't act the way we want them to. But that's another excuse for us to go to God and say, God, I need you to work. I need you to work. I need you to work. God, thank you for what you did yesterday, but I need you to work in their lives today. I want you to see here. He says, call unto me. I see. And I want you. He says, call on the Lord and see is the title tonight. I want you to see some things I see. I see. I think I see very authoritative, or if I could say this, authorization for the Christian to call upon God. God is very authoritative. It's almost a command. Call unto me. It's not when you feel like it. When you want to. If you get around to it, too many times we'll take soul winning as a command, but we don't take this verse as a command to the Christian. We don't take this as an admonition for us from the Old Testament to get a hold of God and call upon his name. Yeah, you say, well, I pray, preacher. I don't think you're getting it tonight. Yes, you called on him for salvation. Turn with me to Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10 tonight. I want you to see something that, you know, it's commonplace for the Christian. You were there when you got saved, right? Romans chapter number 10. He says in verse number 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Call upon him. I want you to, I don't know if you got this, but for all those of you that, think a little light of the Jew, he doesn't just speak of the Jew and the Greek. I know where we're at in the Old Testament, and I know its natural context or its first mentioned context to Jeremiah is about the people of God. But here, it well explains here, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. We have a God, and he's going to say that he's great and mighty. He's an awesome God. He's an almighty God, an all-powerful God. But here it says he's rich. Listen, I don't know where you're at tonight. There may be some things that you need to happen in your life that could not be bought for your kids. You may need something in their life that you need, but he's not just limited to spiritual things. He can deal in the physical realm. He can heal the body. He can pay your bills. He's that kind of God. And all too often, especially for us, we try to steer clear of preaching those things because we might get labeled somebody that preaches a prosperity gospel. But my God will not be limited by people that will put him in a box or that will mistake what I'm saying. My God is big enough to take care of every need of the believer. If if you are here tonight and you are short of something, I have a God that you can call upon his name and he will show up and answer if you call in to him by faith. There's no bigger need than salvation in this world. As a believer, I can tell you that the biggest thing God ever did for me was save my soul. And all too often, we make that a small thing that God wants to do, but then he's done with us. But he's not that kind of God. He's not that kind of dad. He's not that kind of family. It's not born again into a family where God just took care of one thing and now get up and do it yourself. Sometimes we get that mentality. I believe in work. I believe you ought to work for what you get. I don't think you ought to get a handout. But there are some things in this life that when you've given your 100%, you still need help. You still need family. You still need God to step in and do a work in your life. And I don't know what that is for you tonight. And I don't know why God asked me to preach this. But we need to write down Jeremiah 33:3 as a church and start begging God and calling upon his name and realize that God has authorized us to call unto him. Not just for salvation. Look at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He says, call upon me for salvation. Listen, that's the biggest and the tallest order. No man on earth could ever have purchased that for us or for himself. And God took care of the biggest need that you ever had. So why would he come short on the next biggest need that you ever had? Why would he ever stop short of just what you need? I don't understand this idea, and I don't mean to seem to be riled up tonight, but I just know this. I don't like it when people get bad ideas about my God. I don't like it when when Christians that come into building act like God somehow is going to hurt them, or God is looking to punish them. When he's a God of mercy from heaven. Now listen, you better watch out. If you know what God's told you to do, and God's given you direction, and you know in your soul that you ought to be doing something for him, you ought to watch out. Because as much as he's a good daddy to answer good things, he's a good daddy that will chastise as well. And he's not above taking out the rod. If he told you to spank your own kid, he's not against spanking his own. You say, what does that mean? I don't think he's going to get the paddle out. But sometimes when we don't tithe, God drills holes in our pockets. And we wonder why there's so much month at the end of the money. When God clearly told us that his plan is to give the 10%, and boy, the 90 will go so much farther. He'll tape up or sew up the holes in our pockets. You say, preacher, why are you preaching that? Because again, you may have money problems tonight, and your problem isn't that there's not enough money. It's what you're doing with it. And God is desperately trying to get a hold of you saying, trust me. Don't tell me you trust God. You trusted him for salvation. I trust him to take care of my family. You won't even give the tithe? You say, preacher, you're always preaching about money. Tell me when I preached about money the last time. I can't even remember the last time I preached about money. Other than thanking God for his goodness. Hey, I'm preaching to you tonight because I want you to have enough faith. If you know what will grow your faith like nothing else in God's, anything God's ever asked you to do, to give what God asked you to give and watch him give it back to you. Watch him take care of your every need. Watch him make something else. You say, with the gas prices, give 10%. Hey, the government's taking more than that. God's being good to us. I even heard today the governor signed some bill into law and he's going to try to have tax relief. Man, I'm telling you, this is a great governor. Amen. Amen. With a booming economy and everything going right, do you know that that's what a politician is supposed to do? Is to go to bat for the people that voted for him. It is so refreshing to actually see one do it. I'm surprised every time he does something that is for the people. It's almost overwhelming to me. But don't confuse God with a politician. God is a father to his people. God is so good, and he is going to chastise you until you do right. He wants you to get in. He wants you to do what he wants you to do. He's not trying to get you to call upon his name. Listen, do you know the best thing that could ever happen to you is you trust God and realize that God is real. Not just for salvation, but when you trust him with your wallet. God wants all of you, even your wallet. He wants your heart. He wants your feet. He wants your lips. He wants your hands. He wants all of you. And it includes the wallet that's in your pocket. You say, well, why is that? Because you know what? The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And when we won't trust God with something like that, that money can spring up some evil, can it? We can try to be doing all these other things. And you say, why would you get off on that tonight, preacher? I don't know why God told me to go there. I don't know how many of you have an issue with this, but I'm just telling you, a lot of times we are wondering, what are the struggles? Why am I struggling so hard? Especially in this economy. You know, I mean, I don't know, folks, but I mean, houses are selling every day for way more than I think they're worth. People are getting paid way more than I think they're worth. Okay? Nobody flipping a burger is worth that. Not one. All right? I don't care whether it's Burger King, McDonald's, or Wendy's. I do not discriminate. Okay? I don't care where you go. It just ain't worth that. I'm just telling you tonight, folks, we live in a crazy evil day where money has been inflated out of the sky. And if you don't think something is about to pop, okay? If you're not, if God is not speaking with your spirit, now it could go on like this. But God speaks to a man of God and helps him make decisions, all right? And I'm just here to tell you tonight, I'm not trying to get you scared. I'm just getting, too many times we make decisions like things are not going to have seasons. You know, it's happened before. When I came to Bible college here, boy, it spiked way up. Housing market was crazy. But that bubble popped, didn't it? And the people that did not prepare for it, they were scrambling around trying to make ends meet because the bottom dropped out. And everything that was coming in, they were spending it back out. That's a bad way to live, folks. You say, you're meddling now, preacher. No, that's your preacher counseling you. I love you and your family. And I don't want you to struggle, and I don't want you to hurt. You say, well, why do you want me to give 10%? I don't want you to do anything. I just don't want you to be stealing what is God's. Amen. He goes on and says in verse 14, he says, How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, I see in these verses here from 14 all the way down to 17, I realize that God is saying here, do you know that we don't just call on God for salvation? We don't just call on God. This is an opportunity to serve him. God says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? Do you know we believe in soul winning here? We believe in going out. And you may not call that preaching and say, I'm not called to preach. No, you're commanded to preach. You're commanded to go out and tell people, to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to all have a time, a scheduled time, but we ought to be everywhere we go, at every moment of our life, be loaded up with tracts and ready to give every man an answer of the hope that lieth within us. Every one of us ought to be somebody who's ready to give somebody else the gospel. And the Bible says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We ought to be loaded up with God's word. We ought to be holding on to some things. We ought to be believing in God's plan and sharing it with people around us. Do you want to see people's lives get changed? Just believe God. When people see true belief, that you believe that Jesus came from heaven and died on a cross and rose again and is alive, and that your salvation depends upon him, it changes things when people realize and they hear your testimony and they say, I got to go see about this thing. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You start quoting Romans 10:13 to people. It starts changing things. You say, preacher, why are you getting? I'm just saying, why don't we pray? When was the last time you called on God for an opportunity to speak to somebody on the street? God, put someone in my way today. Give me the opportunity to serve you, God. Give me an open door with my coworker. Give me an open door to speak the gospel. Give somebody, bring somebody by my path that I could share my testimony with. We desperately need to get out the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is an evil day. And people don't just come to church for entertainment. The devil's got them sewn up in entertainment. He's got every channel under the sun, and he's put a magic box in everybody's hand called a phone that they can just pump everything in. They don't need to come to the church. Man, there was a day when the church was the only thing happening on Sunday. And people would sometimes just show up just to mock it or just to go down and see what the big deal was with all the crowd going down there. People don't walk into the building on accident. Now this is taboo. I'm not going down to that place because I don't know what they do there. They need to know somebody in the place, and that somebody in the place is friendly. There's somebody they can sit with, and somebody that's invited them, and somebody will say, hey, man, we love people at our church, and we want you to come out and just hear about how good God is. We want you to come down. Our church is the best church in town. Hey, folks, we need to invite people that way. We don't need to just do it. And listen, we don't need to just go do it. We need to call on God to give us divine appointments that when we show up at the door, he says he's authorized us to call upon him. Not just for salvation. He says, call upon me. Call unto me and I will answer thee. We serve a God that wants to hear from us and wants to hear about the things that he's commanded us to do. You say, well, I thought you were going towards the family. I'll get in there. Hey, we call upon him in salvation. We call upon him for our service, whether it's a bus route, whether it's just soul winning, right? Listen, that's the heartbeat of God. Amen. Sunday school, everything. This morning, I called upon his name over and over again as the buses. I was calling out the names of the bus drivers and our bus workers. I was calling out his name about our bus kids that I could remember that God would bring to my mind. I called out about Brother Carlisle going to get his mom this morning and people driving the car, just asking God to give us traveling mercies. I prayed for the people in our church that I know that drive for miles away, that God would bring them here safely. I wanted to call upon the name of the Lord. Listen, I ought not be the only person that's praying for you. You ought to pray for the people that sit in your area. You ought to pray for the people that, I don't even know who that is, but the guy that wears the plaid shirt, God help him to get to church on time. God help him to get to church safe. You may not know their name, but you know they're here and you ought to pray for them. You know what it'll do? It'll come to a place where when you look across, you'll say, you know, it's real. You know how it's really easy to have a great Sunday? You know, I have victories before I ever get up to preach. When I text Brother Pitts or I go down and drive by the parking lot and I see that every bus made it back. With no more dents than they went out with. Amen? And that the workers, amen, didn't lay hands on any kids. And that parents came. This morning I was excited for the parents that came to be with their kids. Folks, that's a victory. I want to see God do something to service. I beg God that people would walk the aisle and do business with God this morning. But more than that, I saw victory after victory after victory all day long because I asked God for victory and I asked God to do what I couldn't do. I can't send them buses out and watch over them. I have no power to steer cars away from them. I have no power to keep them running. I have no power to even keep the diesel fuel combusting inside the engine without spark plugs. I can't teach you science if you don't know what that's about. Hey, God wants us to call about our service. God wants us to pray and call upon his name that he might work. God wants us to, how about this? We need to call upon his name because the servant comes crawling around every time we call. When we start calling on God's name, that old serpent starts acting. Do you know you can't do business with God and really see when everything seems to be going right? When I've had victories on Sunday morning and everything is coming back, I'm looking for the old serpent and where he is. Or one of his minions, because they're going to be crawling up. Hey, in your family, when everybody seems to be doing right, there's spiritual victories, everything's going good, you better look out. You better start calling upon the name of the Lord that God would bind up Satan, that he'd keep him away from your house and away from your church and away from your school and away from everything else. Because listen, when God sees people getting saved and God sees things happening and people growing and going on for the Lord and that there's victories in the Lord's house, the devil comes calling. He starts acting. He raises up his evil head. And I don't know about you, but I don't wait till a snake shows me his fangs before I shoot him. All right? All he's got to do is flick his little tongue, and he's dead. You say, you shoot him with a gun? Most of the time, I don't have one with me. And Smith & Wesson isn't around to help me. I'll take an old garden hoe, a shovel, a stick, a 2x4, anything else. You say, well, what kind of snake was it? It was a dead one if it was around me. It didn't matter what kind it was. You kill snakes and ask questions later. Amen? After I have severed their head from their body, then I look to see whether they're poisonous or not. You say, well, some of them are good snakes. Uh-huh. I think you need some counseling. See, I see that we can call upon the name of the Lord. But you know that old serpent will come crawling if you're not careful. I see some things. I see God's authorization. We're authorized to come boldly before the throne of grace, to call upon his name. He doesn't limit what we call on him for. He doesn't give us a list like you can call for these things. He just wants us to call on him. I see this too. I see that he answers. Look at it with me. Go back to Jeremiah 33:3. He says, call unto me. Amen. I mean, this is an Old Testament promise from our God. Call unto me and I will answer thee. Answer thee? That means I'm going to get an answer. You know my daddy? He didn't always answer yes to every question I asked him. But I had a pretty good dad. And he was a good picture of the Lord in my life for a long time because he paid attention. Now, I can't always say that about me. Sometimes he had to get my attention with his coffee cup or whatever else was in his hand. He said, boy, and I didn't answer, you didn't get, what's this stuff? 1, 2, 3. It was one, bam. That's how it was with me. Amen. That's why I'm a little, anyway. But he answers. Well, isn't it good to know that God hears and answers prayer? Amen. And not some prayer. Hey, it's all right for God to say no. Do you know there was an apostle named Paul? Before that, he was Saul. And he asked God for something, and asked God for something, and asked God for something. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. Hey, folks, do you know that even in that, that's an answer? And as a daddy, I realize some of the things my kids ask for, they ain't all good things. And even if they're not inherently evil, sometimes I know that it may hurt them. This isn't what they need right now. You know, it's not always a good thing to give your kid a car. Especially, if he's going to run from the cops. Right? Now, I probably shouldn't talk about that tonight, But anyway, I'm just saying, you say, well, preacher ran from the cops. That was a whole different age, friend. Amen. You do not want your kids to go out and do that. Amen. Today, they will put them under the jail. Amen. Hey, you say, well, what's wrong with giving my kid a car? I don't know. What's wrong with giving your kid a phone? You say, well, there's something wrong with giving my kid a phone? I mean, you would never give him a gun, right? Not without teaching him how to use it and how it could hurt him and that it's loaded. Not without putting restrictions on it or a lock. Teaching them which way to point it and which way not to point it. Hey, you say, man, preacher, you're getting down where, you're getting after us today. Hey, I'm telling you, just handing something over with that kind of power, you wouldn't even, the state requires your kid to have a license. I think we ought to require them to have a license to go through a class to own a cell phone. That thing's dangerous. And if you think the only person it could hurt is them, you're in trouble. You're sadly mistaken. Hey, folks, there are all kinds of other kids around that are going to send them things. You say, well, I watch who they friend. Yeah. You say, well, I got guards on it. Yeah. But you know as well as I do that you're not as techie as your kids. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I will answer thee. You say, well, what am I supposed to do? Why don't you ask God? Amen. Call on him. I will answer thee. Man, I tell you, it got quiet in here. I will answer thee. I see answers when you call upon the name of the Lord. You know, when I called on him for salvation, I knew that it was his will, and he answered me. He answered immediately. He didn't think about it. He didn't pray about it. He doesn't. He's. I'm going to tell you, anybody that's ever called on him, he's never said no. We're not Calvinist here. He answers. And if he's that good, then what about when I ask and he says no? He doesn't say I have to quit asking. He said he'll answer. You know, and if I ask enough and he still doesn't want to do it, I believe just like Paul, he'll give us peace and tell us that's not the way you need to go. Say, well, what about my family? I need direction. I don't know whether I should do this or do this, preacher. Why don't you ask? God may say no, no, no. And when you finally, you know, when he finally sees that you're ready for the answer, then he'll answer. Too many times we just want our answer. Some of the teenagers in the building, when was the last time you asked God for something instead of your parents? When was the last time you prayed and asked God to do a work? When was the last time you asked God what his will was for your life? Why don't you ask God about, hey, God, what do you want? What did you create me for? What did you make me for? What do you want me to do? What's going to fulfill every need of my soul and my heart? Well, God, what person do you want me to marry? And when do you want me to get married? This isn't just for old people. It's for the young. We got to beg God. You know God knows who you ought to marry to, young people? God knows where you ought to go to church. God knows where you ought to walk and talk. And he knows where you ought not work. You know, a Christian, I believe that we ought to ask God about everything and get his word on it. You say, well, what about the places that he says scripturally exactly? Then take his word. He's already answered. He's already answered so many of our questions if we just seek for it. Lastly, I see this. He says, and I will show thee. Look at this. He says, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Do you know, he says, show thee great. And I see that God has all power. He's authorized, or we get an authorization to pray to God. And we can see that God is a God of answers, but he's also a God of all power. Amen. He says, I will show thee great and mighty things. You know what great means? Greater than you. I mean, things that you could never do for yourself. Things that Elon Musk couldn't take care of for you. Mighty. He says great and mighty things. Do you know we serve a great and mighty God? I mean, we could go through all of the things, but I mean, he's only going to come back and rule the world for 1,000 years. I mean, that is plain. I don't care what you believe about the end times or how far off you are of doctrine. There's no way you're going to mess up that there's going to be 1,000-year millennial reign. Now, somebody may have snuck in here and think that God's going to show up at the back end of it, but that's ludicrous. I mean, for him to rule and reign, he's got to be here. Amen? And so he is coming to set up his kingdom. And he will come premillennial. That word. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean millennial. I mean 1,000 years, and more than that, I believe it's going to be pre-tribulation. I believe that we serve a God that's going to come not only before the 1,000 years, before it gets bad, and come get his own and take his own to be with him. Hey, we live in a day and age where there's a lot of preachers changing their doctrine because of the signs of the time. Now, I want to tell my church and tell you tonight, listen, you need to listen up and turn your ears on. If you turn me off somewhere around the cell phone, tune back in. All right? Hey, we're not changing. We believe in a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And we're not changing. And we're not given to men that are given to change. We're not going to have them in the pulpit. We're not going to invite them to come preach. We're not going to rub shoulders with them and buddy up with them. You say, well, oh, come on, preacher. We're supposed to love everybody. Yes, but we're also not supposed to be given or hang out with people that are given to change. And just because the world's getting worse and it looks like the evil day is going to get so bad that wrath is going to come down on us, or pre-wrath. God is still God. The book is still the book. Doctrine's still doctrine. And we'll stay the course until Jesus comes.
Amen.
Hey, you say, well, preacher, why? Because I want my kids. I want my kids to know I believe something. And when you start floating around and listen, and when you take your magic box out and listen to people that don't believe what is preached from this pulpit, you are messing around. You might as well get yourself a big old pot and mix it around and do witchcraft, because that's what you're doing in the head of your children. You're mixing them up and you're casting spells on them that they will have to go half of their life before they get it straight. You're messing with their mind. Folks, I'm just telling you, too many people have changed. God is the same in the past. He's the same in the present, and He'll be the same in the future. He's still a great and mighty God. He's still a God that will save if you'll call upon Him. He's still a God that will use you no matter where you've been. Paul, man, he was consenting unto the death of Stephen. Moses was a murderer. God used some people that had been in some low places to do the work of God in their life, because He's a great and mighty God. He's not limited by me. He's not limited by you. I'm here to tell you, God wants to do a work in our age just before He comes. I do believe that we're in a day and age that the trumpet could sound even tonight and Jesus come back and catch away His church in the rapture. But we've got to press on and do all that we can. And listen, folks, what a short-sighted church we would be if we didn't call on God for everything. If we didn't beg Him for every need. If we didn't listen to Him and call out to Him. And when He said yes, move forward. When He said no, we turn and do what He wants us to do wherever it is. He's a good God no matter what He answers, but He's a God that will answer. You tell me what other God on planet Earth will answer. There's only one other people that people hold up, and He's a little g God. And He's the devil. Everything else is rock and stone. Everything else will never answer back. But there's one other place. And folks, we've seen it on the front page of the newspaper and all over the internet. These ladies that have been running in these churches about abortion. I'm telling you, this is just scratching the surface. We are running headlong into the end times. And if you watch, you mark my words, the Catholic Church is about to change its colors. The Catholic Church has to absorb every other religion on planet Earth. It has to. Either Muhammad's going to swallow it up or the Catholic Church is going to swallow them up. But either way, there's a marriage about to happen, and we're going to watch it happen if Jesus doesn't take us out of here. You say, well, what about these people? Hey, folks, I'm just telling you, all these people are just raising. They're not afraid to show their colors. They're not afraid to show you who they worship. You say, well, why don't we do that? Because we're not into running around painting 777 on everything. All right? We're not going to go paint crosses on the side of buildings when we don't get it our way. You know what we do? We go and call upon the name of the Lord and say, God, do a work that I can't do. God, get into the minds of these people. Help them to soften their heart. Help me to be a witness. God, set divine appointments for me this week. Change the minds of people in our town. Help people to come to church and to walk an old-fashioned aisle and get saved. I looked at Brother Perkins today, and you may not like this. I may upset somebody here. But I looked out, and I watched our people standing with a hymn book in their hand singing. And you may, listen, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not getting out, everybody else is evil. But I thought, man, it's so good. I've been some places, and good men, COVID changed people. And I watched our people stand there singing out of the hymn book, and I thought, man, it's so good to be home. So good to be home and see our people sing out of hymn books. It's so good to see our people be what they've always been. Folks, if we're going to stay what we've always been, we have to determine that we're going to call upon the name of the Lord. We're going to hear from heaven as He answers us, and that we're going to let Him in this generation show us great and mighty things that we know us not. Hey, folks, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, we serve a great God. All you got to do is call upon His name, and He'll answer you. He'll save you. But you got to call upon His name and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came from heaven and died on a cruel, rugged cross, the one who rose again on the third day and is seated at the right hand of God in heaven. Folks, if you're like that today, if there's one in the building that's not sure they're on their way to heaven, you don't know that, would you slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure. I need to be saved. I'm not sure. I've never called upon the name of the Lord." Is there one anywhere? If you're like that and you'd like to come, I'd meet you in the front. Maybe you're here and you say, "Preacher, I preached tonight. There was something God spoke to my heart about. Pray for me, preacher. Something I need to be calling unto God about in my life." Would you slip your hands up and let me pray for you tonight? I see that hand. I see one in the back. How about if we stand to our feet, and if God spoke to your heart as I pray, you come. Dear God, I beg you tonight, Lord, to do a work. Help us, Lord, to call upon your name. Be with us now as Brother Bert sings. In Jesus' name, amen.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender. I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender.
Would you bow your head with me tonight? Maybe you're here tonight and you're not sure you're on your way to heaven. Not sure 100% that if you died right now, that heaven would be your home. We'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure from the scriptures, how you can trust and call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. I don't want anybody to leave this place tonight not knowing for sure they're on their way to heaven. When Brother Burke begins to sing, why don't you step out? Heads are going to be bowed, eyes are going to be closed. Nobody's going to be looking but me and God. Why don't you step out and come? And let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Brother Burke.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, holy thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know thy power divine. I surrender all, I surrender all, all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Would you bow your head with me tonight? As the invitation continues, there's people, folks getting dealt with down here tonight. Maybe you're here while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You say, "Preacher, well, tonight something hit on something. I need God to help me and my family. God, I need God to help me in my finances." Maybe it's something like that. Would you let me pray for you tonight in the invitation? Maybe you didn't come down. Maybe you did. Would you slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm struggling in an area. I need help in this area. I see, while heads are bowed and eyes closed, I want to pray for you." Amen. I see those hands. I appreciate you being honest tonight. Listen, I hope tonight that you come and did business with God, but if you didn't, listen, you don't have to do that always at the altar. The altar is a place that will alter you. But you can call upon his name. Nowhere in that verse did it say it had to happen at the altar. It said, call upon him. Listen, as I pray tonight for you, why don't you call upon him tonight right where you are? Just say, "God, help me. Bring to Holy Spirit of God, do a work in me that I can't do. You're great and mighty. Please help me." Dear God, I pray for these that have raised their hand. Lord, I know that God, there's a work in this place that only you can do. God, you're so good. And your answer, God, I pray that clearly these that raise their hand and ask for prayer tonight, God, that you would not only do a work, but God, that you would show up and answer. God, whether it be no or whether it be yes or whether it being that you show up and show great and mighty things through what they've called upon your name for tonight. God, I pray you do a work in our families. God, I pray that you would show up and show yourself mighty and powerful, that the world might see your glory through this church. We ask it all in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, ladies. Thank you. Did you get it settled, my brother? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, I'm so glad you came.